Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, here he is. By golly, his first interview since he took this job, and he's still wondering, what am I doing? No, I'm just teasing. His name is Brandon Guffey. He is the York County Council District member, Council member from District Number 6. And you don't look too bad. I mean,
more wrinkles in my forehead. That's about it.
The hair hasn't turned gray yet.
Not yet.
You know, every time I have Bump Roddy on here, when I first started talking to him, his hair was all dark, right? And now it's turning all nice and gray.
Mine started it in the sideburns first. That's it.
So, Brandon, you have not been on here since you were running for this job. You're now in it, so you need to give us a refresher course about your background.
All right. Born and raised in Rock Hill, graduate of Northwestern High School, met my wife in Rock Hill, still live here. I own three businesses in the area, a heat and air business, a landscape supply company, and a landscaping company. And I've coached soccer for the past 6 years, but I've just always been around.
So I told you I was going to ask you this question. Now that you're in it and you understand what's involved, is it more work than you thought it was going to be when you decided you were going to do this?
A lot more work. I wouldn't just say a little bit, but I may be overdoing it just because I'm trying to jump in. One of my promises was that I would jump in and learn quickly, so I'm trying to take on as many opportunities as I can to learn. It's hard to make a decision on someone's budget if you don't fully understand exactly what they need to begin with. So,
well, you lived through the first budget cycle, right?
Yes.
Did you find yourself, the budgets are rather complex.
It was difficult for me because I haven't been through it. And it took me about a week of going line item by line item through that entire budget. And luckily, Kevin Madden was able to answer many questions for me right away.
But you point out an interesting item. To vote on something in a line item of a budget when you're brand new on council,
right,
and you haven't had a chance to really understand or be there to see what the heck this department does, that's a challenge.
Yes. It's hard to know if somebody actually needs something or if they're playing the budget game of asking or shooting for the stars and landing on the moon, so to say. And luckily, that's what management is there for. They understand it a little bit better, but if you see anything that stands out, then we're able to catch it that way.
Well, you got a pretty good budget. You haven't raised anything. And in fact, you are still on course to retire all the debt millage by the end of 2024.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's pretty cool.
That's great, and that's all due to previous council. I didn't have anything to do with that.
Oh, come on. Now's your chance to take credit for it. Oh, come on. Got to give you an opportunity here. You missed it. So what has been your biggest challenge? Just getting an understanding of how this thing works?
My personal biggest challenge is learning when to shut up. So, I have a habit of speaking first before truly understanding, so that's the hardest thing, is learning to bite my tongue until I truly know what I'm talking about. So I think I've been doing pretty good about that so far. That and just learning, getting to understand the process, as far as the Roberts Rules portion of it, the subcommittees, and actually going to the boards and commissions and learning that process before it even gets to council.
And, I don't think most people really understand the importance that boards and commissions have for any governmental entity, whether it be the city, whether it be the county. You select people for these boards and commissions to try to do a lot of the seed work or the grunt work to bring you the information you need to make a final decision as to how this thing should be handled.
Right. And you're trusting what they're bringing to you as the information or what they're needing. So you want to have someone that you can really trust and rely on in those positions. And someone like me coming in, I have holdovers that are still filling out their term from before. So as soon as I have an opening, that's the first thing I'm looking for is like, okay, who can I put in here?
And the county has an interesting system because I think you have term limits. I mean, somebody can serve, what is it, 2-3-year terms?
Everyone's different. I think most of them are two terms.
Right. And that way you don't keep somebody on there forever.
Right. But sometimes it's good to have someone on there that actually understands what's going on instead of throwing them off, too.
Well, I guess your very first big personal issue for your district was one here recently that you had to deal with. And let me just see if I can give a little background. The county over the last couple of years has done quite a good job on modernizing, expanding, upfitting, whatever you want to call it, Ebenezer Park. Which has always been a popular place to go. But once they opened it up, it became even more popular.
Right.
And therein, your phone must have started to ring.
Phone, emails, you name it, they were coming in. And I was actually out there with the grand opening and visited out there once a week afterwards on the weekends, just to address some of the problems that we were having. Primarily, it was traffic overflow. But, you know, as any time that you bring something that people want to visit, you're going to get a ton of people. And now it's just controlling the amount of people that are out there. Not necessarily controlling, but how can we not affect the neighborhoods that are around it as well?
Yeah, they had some interesting situations out there. You know, little old Lake Wylie Drive, which is barely big enough for one automobile. Somehow the traffic was getting diverted with, you know, hauling pontoon boats and what have you down there. That didn't work out too well.
No, that happened one day, one weekend. I think it was the second weekend after the opening. They decided they wanted to try a new traffic pattern to see if they could help things move a little bit better. So they were directing everyone out down Lake Wylie Drive. And, of course, that's whenever the email started. I had phone calls plenty beforehand. And Lake Wylie Drive's not built for that traffic.
No.
So it's finding that solution to where we're not impacting or end up having to cost a ton of money to replace an entire road or putting the residents in danger with these big old boats. And, you know, I teach my kids to drive on Lake Wylie Drive, so I know the hills, and it's you have to go slow.
Right. All right, so the upshot of all this was you had a community meeting here, 10 days ago or something like that?
Yes.
And you had all the players around the table. You had the staff there. You were there. Other elected members of council were there. What came out of all of that?
The best thing, in my opinion, this is the way I think government should work. You get everyone that is involved and you get their opinions. So that way you don't have one group making a decision that's going to affect another group. So everyone could hear the problems that the other group was having. And staff's there to understand. Engineering was there. Sheriff's Department was there. Park staff was there. And with going through there, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to end up doing an engineering study, which we've done some traffic counts. That is the main thing, to figure out the best flow, especially being on Mount Gallant Road there. That turn is always dangerous as is. But the biggest problems were people blocking neighborhoods from being able to get out of their own neighborhood because of the traffic stopped. So just allowing those residents to not be impacted. But you also have to consider, you know, those busy weekends out there at Ebenezer Park is maybe 12 weekends out of the year, and you don't want to make a decision that's going to impact every single one of them year round for only those 12 weeks.
So. Right. So as far as the traffic is concerned, I mean, it appears that what you may need is a little widening of the existing, what's it called, Boat Shore Road?
On Boat Shore, as you come in, possibly some widening there. That's one thing that we looked at. It may be something simple as, living here and going to Ebenezer Park, I'll be the first to admit, you come off of Mount Gallant at 35, you just continue down Boat Shore at 35 miles an hour. Well, that becomes dangerous whenever you've got a lot of traffic there. So something to slow down the traffic coming in, something to keep the traffic from backing out, also keeping people from parking in other people's property and walking into the park. That was an issue. That was one of the first issues, was people parking at other people's houses, cutting through the woods just to walk into the park. So we were able to put up no parking signs. One of the things I want to do, Lake Wylie Drive, is make it where it's a left turn only coming out, so people can't bypass Boat Shore to try to get into Ebenezer Park. And even if we get that updated through our GPS or through the map system, anyone that's coming in from out of town, their GPS will not send them to go down Lake Wylie Drive just because traffic's backed up on Boat Shore.
Right.
So I think that will solve a lot of those issues. As far as the widening, that's where engineering is going to come in and decide what's the best way to go about it, and then we will bring that to council to decide at that time what we can do.
Well, you know, part of the challenge with that park is you can only put so many people in there at one time. You only have so many parking spaces, and they stack up back there waiting for one car to come out so another car can come back in. You know, ideally, you'd like that park to be twice the size it is, but that's not going to happen.
Right.
You don't have the land out there.
And that was one of the first things I looked at was, okay, we have a little bit of land over here. What if we increase parking? And whenever you talk to staff just, I mean, currently, whenever the park is at capacity, it's at capacity staff-wise, not just parking-wise.
Yeah.
So, it's hard enough to get employees, and last thing we want to do is continue to impact staff as well out there with trying to manage everything, and the sheriff's department as well.
Yeah. So it's one thing to put up signs, no parking, no parking, no parking. But if somebody's not there to enforce it, I mean, is part of this trying to get allocation of resources to be there on these heavy weekends?
Well, we don't really enforce parking, so to say, as a rule of thumb. But we can put up the signs. I think the majority of the people will respect the signs that say no parking. But as long as they are not blocking the roadway, you know, parking out on Lake Wylie Drive would certainly be an issue just because the road is so narrow.
Yeah.
But it's hard enough to get police officers. We don't want to turn our police officers into, I don't want to say meter maids, but parking enforcement. And we don't currently have that. But, so we want to make sure that we're trying to find a good solution that will, you know, deter people from breaking the rules. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen.
I got you. So all of these, there's one more issue that I want to make sure. There were some very interesting aerial photos that have been taken about how that brand new beach seems to be just sliding out into Lake Wylie.
Yes. I don't think it's the beach. I think it's more of the silt, which, you know, as a kid, if you wore a white bathing suit, your bathing suit was orange whenever you come out of Lake Wylie.
So you think it's just being kicked up by
the people? It's just the silt that's in there already. We even had, I think, the assistant county manager who's been great at helping jump right on these problems, Mr. Moore. They even dredged out the swimming area, thinking that would help. But, you know, if you scrape off the top layer, as soon as someone gets in there and starts stepping on what's below and it's mud, that mud's going to kick up and it's going to drift down. And it's not I don't want to say it's not, but we're currently looking into see if it is an environmental problem. And Duke will have to let us know on that as far as how it impacts. But it's always been an issue out there. It's just now we have more people, which in return is more silt.
Well, I guess it's the color.
Yes.
When you see from the aerial view, it looks just like the color of the beach.
Right.
And what we don't understand is where your feet hit the whatever's underneath the water, that stuff is there as well as the good old mud.
Right.
So.
And you have the same problem with Goat Island right across. You know, the north end's eroding away. And people are getting out, parking out there and stomping in as well. But the majority of the issue of the silt's coming from Ebenezer Park right now.
Well, it's nice to have a park that's just so popular.
I mean,
it's really something. And speaking of parks, one of the things that I know council has been looking at, and I don't know what the status of it is now, is, come on, Manny, think of the name, Allison Creek.
Yes.
When I attended your workshop here months ago, you had a very interesting proposal that had been put forth by Duke Energy. Duke's going to do work at Joslyn Park as part of their management agreement for the Catawba River. And if I understood it right, they were proposing that the county kick in some extra dollars to create some extra facility out there, and then they were going to basically turn the park over to you to run.
From what I understand, I was brand new at that time. So it was
I got my notes here somewhere.
It was drinking from a fountain. But I do remember, you know, the proposal that was there, and it was something that council had already been working on. But as soon as I came in, that was one of the first things that was approved. My biggest fear is if we don't correct these problems at Ebenezer Park before they shut down Allison Creek and start working on it,
right,
where will we be at with the issues? It's only going to multiply them.
Well, when it comes to parks, I mean, I think the county is really getting serious about offering more park opportunities for people, one of which is still very much in the infancy, is Riverbend.
Yes.
And you've had a chance to go out there and see what opportunities that thing presents. What kind of emotions do you have when you think about Riverbend?
It is massive. That's the best way of putting it. I think one of the stats I saw was three times the size of Central Park, and that was shocking to me. But, you know, I think if you go to any of the parks within Fort Mill, if you go up to Ann Close Springs Greenway or you go out to Riverwalk, you can see that's one of the things that our residents really enjoy. I talk about going out to Ebenezer Park whenever I was growing up, but that was about the only park other than the city parks that you had,
right,
which were primarily just sports. So I think it's great to have all of these amenities that the residents will actually use. And there's not a park that you can go to that you're not seeing it utilized.
And, of course, they threw out names that we've heard about, but we don't know a whole lot about. You have Nanny's Mountain,
yep,
Worth Mountain. These are other park opportunities. I mean, they're there.
That's what I've enjoyed the most about being on council with so many things, especially living here 41 years. I didn't even realize that a lot of these things existed. Worth Mountain, you know, it's 1,700 acres. And then you have Nanny's Mountain right there off of 274.
Right.
I just never was aware that they were there, and I think that's just because the county has not put an emphasis on parks. And I think our new council has a little bit different thought process, and we're wanting to move that way. I can't speak for everyone, but it seems like that seems to be the consensus.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. The council's come full circle over the last 20, 25 years that parks are good for the residents, is good for economic development. You know, it's that whole thing they call quality of life.
Yes.
And I think everybody is solidly behind what the county is doing in trying to develop these opportunities for people to use. I mean, all we have to do is go back to Ebenezer Park, you know, build it and they will come, and they have been coming.
And it's a great way to conserve some of the natural area as well. Because, you know, we look at some of the other places that have really just had such a huge growth impact, it allows us to kind of save some of those areas and ensure that the residents have a place to go.
We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Brandon, I want you to look at these white letters because you know what's going to happen right now. We're going to tell everybody because we got the Tuttles here. We're going to get this out nice and loud, right? Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes. Right, right. One, two, three. Are we ready now?
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
We're glad to see things are getting back to normal, and it's great to see everyone eating in and us getting a chance to catch up with y'all. This is Charlie Ruffalo. If you don't have time to sit and enjoy your lunch with us, I would suggest you order online at mysubstationii.com, and you can be in and out of the store in under 5 seconds. Just give us enough time to make your order before you arrive. We're open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 10, and we're still able to do catering 7 days a week. Once again, I want to thank you for your support through this pandemic. It means a great deal. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Your County Council member Brandon Guffey from District Number 6 is our guest today. And as he said, since he took office in January, it's been like drinking out of a fire hose.
Yes.
My gosh. Woo. Well, I think realistically, and I'll bet you most of your fellow council members would tell you, it probably takes a year and a half to 2 years to really get your handle as to what's going on, which is why I'm so glad years ago the council went from this two-year re-election cycle where everybody was up at one time to a four-year staggered schedule.
Yes. I can't imagine being in any type of public office and it only being a two-year term. I mean, it seems, especially whenever you start talking about on a federal level, you get in, you have 1 year to do something, and then pretty much your next year is campaigning.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you take a look at somebody like Ralph Norman.
Yeah.
I mean, every 2 years, he's up.
Yes.
It's a constant campaign
mode. Can't
imagine
it.
Can't imagine.
My stress. I don't know that I could handle that.
So juggling your business world with this political world, have you figured out how to do that yet?
I'm extremely blessed to have great management. I have managers at each one that can handle it. It's amazing because I don't necessarily have to be at work like I normally do, unless I'm filling in. You know, a business owner wears many hats. Whenever I leave here, I got to go hop in a CDL truck and do a few deliveries.
All right.
But other than that, my managers are able to run the business without me, and that's great.
As he said before the show, he's told what to do.
Yes.
And just go ahead and do it. We got everything else covered, right?
Yes. I have one manager that pretty much handles my schedule before 5, and then my wife handles everything after 5. And anything with council, of course, the clerk handles that. So I just show up where I'm
told. So you're allowed 20 minutes to yourself every day, is
yes.
that right? All right. So the biggest issue facing York County, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, TKK, whatever, is that big G word, growth. It's coming at us from all different directions.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating opportunities, also creating issues. So have you figured out how? I mean, does it worry you that the county is, I don't know, going to get too big for all of us? I don't know how you stop it, but you
yeah,
can control that, it.
That's the hardest thing is how do you stop it? My biggest concern is ensuring that we have the infrastructure in place prior to the growth coming in. To me, you know, one of the things I ran on was smart growth. And whenever I think of smart growth, I don't think you can really dictate what's coming in other than based your zoning laws that are there. But just ensuring that we have those roads and we're not impacting or, you know, our traffic impact studies are being done and to ensure that we are prepared for whenever the growth comes in. But it's coming very quickly. Over the past year, I'm shocked at how much has happened.
Well, we've seen, I think this is before your time, on your county council, and we've seen it at the Fort Mill Town Council, a couple of very, very nice developments turned down simply because the roads could not handle
right.
the additional traffic.
Yeah, and I'm completely for that. You know, luckily within District 6, we have... I've lived in District 6 most of my life, and most of the homes, we don't have a lot of the cookie-cutter neighborhoods that will impact, or the townhomes and apartments all on top of each other. But, you know, I look back as a child, and I lived off Selenese Highway. It was a two-lane road, and you could walk down it, and there was no problem. I remember whenever they widened it, I was, what in the world is this for? And now I can't imagine Selenese Highway without it being widened. And to me, that is smart growth. The county was thinking ahead, or the state was thinking ahead, and had Selenese Highway widened. And then on the other end, you got things such as Highway 5, which I think is widened and is didn't need to be widened. So we want to make sure that we're catching that right. If the growth is coming there, that we have the infrastructure in place.
Well, thank God for a thing called Pennies for Progress.
Yes.
Because that changed the whole landscape. It's hard to believe that when that first referendum was approved in 1996, we had the road conditions that we had back then. People who have recently moved here, they have no idea how bad the roads were prior to that being adopted by the county. It was just narrowly adopted, but since then, it's now getting like 90% approval every time the referendum comes up because people can see what's happened.
I mean, if we didn't have Pennies for Progress, the C Fund balance for each district this year is $300,000.
Whoopee!
That doesn't pave a mile. So for an entire district to have $300,000, how many roads are you really going to be able to fix? So Pennies has helped out. They're part of that planning process. Patrick Hamilton does an excellent job. He's always ahead of the curve, so to say.
Yep.
So
no pun intended.
Very thankful for Pennies for Progress, and I'm always for a consumption-based tax as opposed to imposing it on all.
Well, you know, what really drives the success of that is people have seen that there haven't been any boondoggles on this thing. It's done what it said it would do. It was rough the first time it was passed because the estimating, you know, and getting our hands around this thing was just not as accurate as it is today. But now the system is so streamlined and works so well that, and the county, let's face it, the county on this last one, and again, this was before you were there, I think that's right, they approved lending the Pennies for Progress money up front until the tax was collected so we could get a jump start on these last group of projects.
Yeah.
And all that money's been paid back now.
And that, I mean, takes a lot of foresight to be able to do that. I commend them on that.
All right.
Because the last thing you want is just being held up. And I think we're seeing that, especially with the growth that's coming in.
Yeah.
We can't afford to collect tax for 5 or 6 years just to build it then whenever we need it now.
All right, got about 60 seconds left. What have you got your eyes on that you think you eventually want to get your nose into?
My biggest battle right now is just fighting ordinances that we have, which we're in the middle of a recode, which I think is great. Some of that needs to be addressed. Currently, the way things are written, if it's not written as it is allowed, then it's automatically prohibited. So I think we're in the process of getting that corrected. And you know, I believe once we take a common sense approach to it, I think it'll ease up some of the burden on our staff and will be better for people within York County.
Talking about writing them in English versus legalese?
No, I mean, just ensuring that. I mean, the hardest thing is whenever you're very specific with something like an ordinance, if it's not written that it's allowed and it's automatically prohibited, and you didn't think of it ahead of time, then there's a problem.
Brandon Guffey, thank you so much for being with us today, and we'll check back in with you again for sure. All right?
All right.
That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula, pretty evident to most people. But for all you newbies, we're going to let you know what it is. At the count of three, are we ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.